Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
So what is going on with AMI,
who's
the
AMI?
Parent company of the National Enquirer, American Media Incorporated. I believe they own other magazines or media companies, but National Enquirer is kind of the one that the household name most people can think of, because the publisher of the National Enquirer struck a deal with federal prosecutors to avoid criminal charges.
Yeah, so part of that agreement, the parent company of the National Enquirer admitted to making a payment of $150,000 in cooperation with members of Trump's presidential campaign in order to prevent former Playboy model Karen McDougal's claim of an affair. And they wanted to make sure that that didn't see the light of day before the presidential vote in November of 2016.
Right. They have, again, their admission, not my opinion, their admission, they have come out and said the reason we did this was to protect the Trump campaign. One of the questions is, who do you believe? Did they do that of their own volition, or were they instructed to do it?
Well, I think a little bit of the backstory here is important, because the chairman of this company is a longtime friend of Donald Trump's.
That's not in dispute.
No, no. And the Enquirer was one of Trump's most reliable media boosters during the campaign. And the friend and chairman of the company apparently met with Michael Cohen and some other members of the campaign to work together, and they struck a deal with the Southern District of New York. This is the same entity that just sentenced Michael Cohen to 3 years behind bars.
Right.
You see, you're starting to connect the dots. This is still kind of wonky and heavy.
No, but this gets into campaign finance violations.
Yeah.
Michael Cohen's going to jail for it for, 3 years yesterday. The National Enquirer is struck a deal to avoid, apparently, prosecution, jail time, who knows what else. But there's a couple things going on here.
Okay.
First off, if they believed that these stories would have hurt Trump.
Yeah.
Weeks before the election. Do you think that's true?
It would not. It wouldn't have helped them. How would it have helped them?
But was it even necessary for them to do them? I mean, at that point, who didn't know who Trump was? The video had already come out of I can grab them by the pee. You do anything I want to these women. They love celebrities.
I don't know if it really matters if it would have hurt him. The campaign thought it would hurt him, and then they decided to take this action. So, I mean, that's a question really for the campaign and not necessarily the voters.
You don't think that the revelation, should these stories have actually come to light, the October surprise right before an election, that Donald Trump paid off multiple women that he had sex with while married to Melania to keep their mouths shut, would that have influenced anyone?
Oh, it would have influenced some. But I think by that point in time, most people already had made their mind up.
I think the October surprise
wasn't the Access Hollywood video. It would not have been a National Enquirer story or a Vanity Fair story of a former playmate who had an affair with the candidate. I think what the real surprise was James Comey, and people then, with him opening up the investigation into Hillary Clinton, that threw everything into a tizzy.
That threw the wrench in.
About 10 days before the election.
Here's the other thing that we are going to find out one way or the other.
What's that?
Since the National Enquirer is cooperating, a non-prosecution agreement in return for information.
So does that mean like they're not going to be punished if they cooperate? Is that what that means?
In return for their information and cooperation, they won't be punished.
Okay.
At least in this court, for paying hush money. Do you believe these are the only two they paid?
Okay, that's an interesting question to bring up, because there's been a story that has floated around for quite some time that the National Enquirer, the parent company, AMI, would routinely do what's called catch and kill. They would go after a story and catch it by paying somebody money and having them sign a contract. That contract saying they can't discuss the story with anyone else. And that individual thought that, okay, I'm only going to talk to the National Enquirer, then the
sign
National Enquirer is going
deal.
To pay me for my story, and I'm going to see it on the grocery store shelves. Mm-hmm. But what the company would do is they'd catch the story, contract, pay off, and then they'd kill it.
Never, ever run it, bury it.
But it also prevents that individual
from going to anybody else. You took money for it and signed a deal.
Now, that's what was apparently done with Karen McDougal, the Playboy model who claimed she had an affair with the president.
And Stormy Daniels.
And
right?
It was Stormy Daniels was different. Well, Stormy Daniels was paid off by Michael Cohen through an LLC in Delaware.
Right.
It had nothing to do with AMI.
But fair enough. Cohen was involved in McDougal as well. Okay. Sorry. There is a connection.
I just don't want to muddy the water too much. So the there's another story, though. And this is one I've been following. And I've been digging into a little bit more even this morning. There is a story. It is not confirmed. But it is part of this methodology of catching and killing stories of a bellman, a doorman.
Okay.
At Trump Tower 1, I believe it is.
All right.
Who apparently had a story and was told not to give one of the housekeepers at the time a hard time because she had an affair with Donald Trump and there was an illegitimate child involved.
So there's a Trump baby.
Well, I don't know if this is a true story. I'm not trying to tell stories out of school. I'm simply offering this to you. We do know that AMI, the parent company of the National Enquirer, had that doorman under contract. They caught that story. They paid him $30,000 for that story, which never saw the light of day. They killed it.
So what was that story? And what does he have and what evidence is there?
What I've been able to find out, like I've taken a look at the contract. The contract is out there right now.
Okay.
That's why I'm sharing it, because substantiating evidence behind
this. It's not just some guy saying. No, there's legal documents behind
it. But where my spidey senses start tingling is the doorman's attorney has come out and said that they are no longer bound by that AMI contract.
Okay.
So why haven't we heard this story? Hmm. Is there no credibility to it?
Could potentially be.
Because this was August.
Okay.
So I would assume we would probably have heard it by now. Now, is Ronan Farrow working on it? Potentially. I don't know.
60 Minutes, digging into it.
I just kind of want to offer that to people that the National Enquirer has a history of doing this. Now that they are cooperating with prosecutors.
Yep.
And the prosecutors say, if you cooperate, we're not going to punish you, which means the prosecutors believe
they have something,
to offer.
You don't offer that deal unless you get something in return.
Right.
So what is left out there? And being that we know about the payments that were made due from court documents, non-disclosure agreements, and sworn testimony, and now guilty pleas. Do you believe those? Do you believe that the two women whose names we know are the only two that Michael Cohen was involved in paying off?
Here's the thing.
And does it matter?
You asked a great question a couple of minutes ago. Would this have impacted the election?
If you'd have known that Donald Trump was paying off women that he slept with while married to Melania in the weeks before the election.
It pains me to say this, Bruce. But let's go back to September, October of 2016.
Okay.
Politics in our world was vastly different 2 years ago.
Sure.
And I think 2 years ago, it would have had an impact. Profound? I don't know.
It only had to impact a couple thousand votes in a couple swing districts.
Would it have had an impact? I think it would have had an impact.
Mm.
If this story were to come out, let's say the president decides to run for re-election again in 2020, in 2 weeks before the election, other stories come out like this. Does it hurt the president? No. I think we all now know who he is.
It's baked in the cake.
I think that in 2016, we had an idea, but everybody was just hoping there would be a pivot. When is it going to pivot? When's it going to pivot? When's it going to pivot? And we were hoping that, you know, it was this facade or so on. So now we know who he is. Back then, I think it could have had an impact.
There's no shock.
Today?
Today.
No.
Yeah, there. No. I wouldn't disagree.
There's changed no, a lot there's in no 2 years.
This comes down to the what could you possibly learn that would shock you about Trump?
I don't even want to go down that path. Yeah. I'm afraid of what I'd come up with.
Well, I would say nothing would shock you.
No, something would still shock me, but it would have to be pretty outlandish, and we've seen a lot of that already.
Yeah. But again, we're gonna continue as this onion continues to unravel. And by the way, this is not Mueller. This is a different group of people. This is not Mueller and Russians and whatnot. We actually had a Russian plead guilty in court today, but that's a whole other argument. Oh my God.
Can't keep it all straight.
But it's almost impossible. I'm not going to lie. It is almost impossible to keep those stories straight. California, though, they need to create more revenue. Apparently, state of California doesn't have enough money. They haven't managed to tax the hell out of people enough. Maybe it'll become France next. So they want to tax you for texting. How does that happen? Is that even a real thing?
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
It sounds like a joke. It sounds like you got to be kidding me. The state of California, the Public Utilities Commission, is considering a plan that would charge people with cell phones, mobile phones, a fee for every text message they send.
Yeah, they're not happy that people are talking about this because in all reality, they could have pushed this through. And would you really have even known you're being taxed?
You would have just like showed up on your cell phone bill.
Yeah, because I feel like there's
this?
So many other taxes and fees no that show up on your bill. And you're like, I don't know what that is, but okay, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
But that is exactly what's happening with California's Public Utilities Commission. They're considering this plan. It would charge people a fee for sending text messages. What about receiving them? If you just get them?
Unclear.
You know, like, okay, I'm not going to text you back.
Do I get taxed on both ends of a text message?
The other
message?
Thing that I learned about this story, and frankly, I have numbers to give you, but I can't give you perspective on it as we try to on this program, because it says that California's Public Utilities Commission says that this wouldn't be a huge fee. It'd be about 70 cents
okay.
for every $10 worth of text sent.
I don't understand how to quantify texts in dollar
Me
amounts.
Either.
How much is each text worth?
I have no idea.
I mean, I'm assuming it has something to do with like the amount of data you use.
Probably.
But how do they separate that out?
But how do I quantify that?
I have no idea.
So how would I know? Thank goodness I'm not a California taxpayer. But how would I know the impact of this? The other aspect, Bruce.
Yeah.
The reason why they're looking to do this is because they're already taxing the people of California's landlines.
Yes, there's still people that have landlines.
So they can help subsidize poorer users.
Okay.
So you're going to get so you can help subsidize telecommunications for the underprivileged. Let's go with that.
Altruistic reason. That's nice.
Which cost about $670 million in 2011.
Wow.
And is closing in on $1 billion this year.
Okay.
Maybe we should reevaluate how we're spending that billions of dollars instead of adding another tax on individuals to keep paying the additional
amount. What world do you live in? What fantasy world do you live in?
Not California, I'll tell you that much.
But to be fair, we've had plenty of discussions here. We've got lawmakers and people that are reliant upon the public dollars who think they know how to spend it better. And have you ever run into politicians who think we've got too much taxpayer dollars around
here? A new report by UCLA's Latino Policy and Politics Initiative looks at Latino voter
Hey guys, there we go. What are we possibly going to do with all this money sitting around? No. So they've never met a tax they didn't like.
Sure, they've never met a tax they didn't like, but where, Bruce, ready?
I'm ready.
Where have we heard this before?
Okay, I'm sitting down for it.
They were set to vote on this
until
the public caught wind. Now, they have delayed their vote until they can get further comment.
Shocking development.
Yeah.
Right?
Sounds shocking. A lot like what's happening with the Phoenix Suns here in Phoenix.
Without a doubt. Can we sneak this by people before they fully realize that we've decided to take either tax them more or move it around?
But I mean, like, think about this. real estate in California.
Through the roof.
Yeah, but I mean, is it, people are leaving because of that. A lot of them have come here to Arizona.
Can't afford to live there.
Welcome.
Yeah.
You start texting, you start taxing texts.
Or,
boy, that's
or texting taxes.
You got that. All right. You talk Pamela. I love that. People will be leaving in droves. Like, they need their text messaging, right?
Like, that would be the tipping point. All right, now I'm out.
I might have spent $1 million on my home.
You?
Well, I'm a barista.
Yeah.
But you start taxing
my
texts, and I'm
out of here. You lost me at that. I'm going to lose money on this deal. I might literally run in the negative with the amount of texts that I send.
Right?
It's an asinine idea. And it's going to create an entire industry of people trying to get around paying the tax. No.
I think it's California. Anything's possible.
There is, yeah.
When it comes to Texas.
Well, again, along those same lines, the vote on the Suns arena deal got pushed back till next month. It appears taxpayers don't want the deal at all. So what's going to change by the next scheduled vote in January? We'll talk about that coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
The Phoenix Suns are in the news and being conversed about for none of the reasons I would think they probably wish that we were talking about.
Is it their winning season?
Ooh.
Is it their amazing...
They have four wins. Pamela.
Yeah, I know. I know.
24 losses. They're 4-24. They are by far the worst team in the NBA.
Is it new concessions food?
Oh, you know, that's what OAC teams do like that. Our teams are really horrible, but why do you come out and try the new?
A new.
Yeah. No, it's because of a pending deal for the arena the Suns playing in downtown Phoenix. Will renovations at money, much of them at taxpayer expense, go forward? Will they not? And if they don't go forward, will the Suns pack up and leave?
Well, they were supposed to vote on it yesterday. What they voted yesterday was to delay it until January 23rd. And what they are voting on is this deal, a deal that has been in the works and negotiated for quite some time that would put Phoenix on the hook for roughly $150 million, while the Suns would be on the hook for $80 million, grand total $230 million, to renovate the arena. And it would keep the Phoenix Suns downtown through
30-something or other.
Seven, yeah. I think it is, but I don't want
to.
Okay.
It's a hell of a long time.
It is a long time. And you know what? The arena, I'm sure, no doubt, has some renovation that needs to take place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the way that this was being ramrodded through without the public's reaction or, frankly, the knowledge of it is what's really peeved some people.
It made people look twice at it.
Absolutely.
Right? And go, so what are you really trying to push?
Right. And the people have been heard. Mm-hmm. The vote has been delayed. Why? Because they didn't have the votes yesterday. And as the story started to kind of gain momentum that the city council doesn't have the votes, and so they might vote to delay it instead, a piece popped up. A piece that was done by Larry Roberts, a columnist for the Arizona Republic. And in it, she talked about a council person who was threatened, maybe, by the
attempted coercion
owner of the Suns that, hey, either we get our renovated arena or we're blowing this popsicle stand. Let's have Lori tell you it, because we had her on the program a little bit earlier. Here's how that all went down. Take a listen.
The thing that he always says is he's going to, as the city people have told me, quote, lay out his options.
She's talking about Robert Sarver here. Okay?
Reaching out to city council members.
There you go.
Unquote, which means leaving downtown Phoenix. I always took that to mean going out to one of the Indian reservations or, you know, wherever he could convince somebody to build him an arena.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the last week, as he and the city were frantically trying to line up those votes because the votes were disappearing once this thing became public. In his conversations with one council person, he brought up the words Seattle and Las Vegas. I don't know why else those would come up in conversation about, please, will you change your vote? I need your vote, unless that was a threat or a prediction or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But that is what was relayed to me by one member of the city council.
Now, Lori Roberts went on to, again, talk about Seattle and Vegas.
Perhaps I'm wrong, and maybe Sarver was simply telling this particular council person, vote for us, and, oh, by the way, this weekend I'm going to go to Las Vegas, and then I'm going to go vacation in Seattle. Maybe he didn't mean it that way at all, you know? I don't know.
All right, so we had her on the phone, and I'm like, but let me just be clear. Are you telling me that a council person told you Robert Sarver threatened to go to Vegas or Seattle if he doesn't get the renovated arena?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was told by a city council person.
So that's kind of where we're at. The Suns say that's not true. They want to stay here. I think they have to say those things. There's a couple of things going on, though, with this. Is part of the problem that the Suns are so bad right now? If the Suns were in the NBA championship last year, would we be having this debate? Or would people take our money?
You know what? I think you should still have the debate. I mean, taxpayers should have a say as to whether or not they want this kind of money spent on the arena. But I don't think it would have. I don't think you would have the backlash or the outcry you currently do.
So the Suns bear some responsibility in this.
Okay,
is my point.
Yes, yes.
That the Robert Sarver, under his ownership, under his leadership, bear some responsibility in the fact that there are people out there. According to one poll, we saw 60-some-odd% of Phoenix residents don't want to give him a nickel. Why? Because the team isn't very good. That's a you problem, Mr. Sarver. That's not a me problem.
And when we talked to Lori Roberts about Vegas, Seattle, and the council people she's talked to, here's what she had to say about, is it a threat?
The context of this is important, is that they're trying to twist the arm of the council. To me, you can just say, well, I'm just giving them the reality, but it's still a threat.
Okay, but a threat, does that threat have any teeth? Listen to what Paul Calvisi from Arizona Sports on 98.7 FM had to say about this.
Look, the NBA isn't just giving away Las Vegas. The Suns can't make like Nicolas Cage and it's leaving for Las Vegas all of a sudden. Now without paying through the nose, now without paying an expansion fee or relocation fee, the NHL just got $650 million for the rights to Seattle. That's hockey in Seattle. Can you imagine what the NBA would want for its product in Vegas and that market? Not happening, not unless the Suns would pay a lot more to go to Vegas than they ever would to renovate the arena downtown.
That's the business of basketball, that the other owners who all share in this revenue, this business of the NBA, do they like Robert Sarver enough to say, you can move to Vegas and we'll just do without the couple hundred million dollars we were all going to divvy up? There isn't a lot of evidence that other professional sports owners think that way. They're like, no, hard no. No. We could get that money out of somebody else and you could continue to fight with the city of Phoenix. Doesn't make a difference to us. I think the argument falls on deaf ears for a couple different reasons. I think the electorate is different. I think people look at these sports deals and say, I don't think it's a good deal for the city. And the fact that the Suns just aren't a very good team doesn't make people warm and fuzzy. Here's $180 million of taxpayer dollars. Please stay. You know, you've gone from ambivalence, which might be bad, to outright hostility. That might be the bigger problem. Might be one of the reasons why we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity. That's coming up next.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
How connected are you to your cell phone? Say those of you who are currently staring at your cell phone and swiping and looking.
We're streaming us on our app. KTAR available.
Thank you guys
on
iTunes. So thank you.
Tunes and Android, yeah.
You people are.
See what
awesome.
I did there?
Yeah. I like how you're doing
okay.
That. Right. Well, could you go a full year? A year without a smartphone. This is a year without a Santa Claus. A year without a smartphone.
I think both would be difficult. I mean, come on.
Vitamin Water, the beverage company, says it'll pay $100,000 to the person who can go an entire year without a smartphone. They call it a scroll-free life challenge. 365 days, the entire 2019 calendar year. If you can make it 6 months, you get $10,000.
Anybody else wondering why it is Vitamin Water that's doing this?
So they can hear us say Vitamin Water over and over again?
So that we actually talk. It's just weird. It's strange. Anyway, I couldn't do it. Even though I'm somebody who leaves my phone at home routinely, which drives my husband nuts. I'm at the grocery store and doing my thing, and I come home, and he's like, did you get my text to get milk? Nope. Left
Never
the phone at home. He's like, oh, did,
when you
it
texted
with
me,
you.
Didn't you hear that thing vibrate over there on the kitchen counter?
And then I walk in the door, and he's like, you left your phone here. And I'm like, yeah, I know. He's like, oh, I needed something. Sorry. But I'm not attached to my phone like a lot of people are. Granted, though, I wouldn't want to go without it for a year.
Yeah.
I could go a couple days here or there. And when I go on vacation, a lot of times it's just buried. And I'm not, the only reason why I have my phone on me for vacation is to take pictures
now,
or to use the map.
Here are the rules. You're going to choose somebody. You are not going to be completely incommunicado. They're going to give you roughly a 20-year-old cell phone, one that only makes phone calls. I'm going with, you might get the Motorola brick phone, which might become a status symbol in and of itself. And you need a shoulder strap to carry it.
Here's the funny thing. You know how you enter? You enter via Twitter or Instagram.
By using your smartphone.
Smartphone.
That is brilliant in and of itself. Could you go a full year? Here's the thing. I get it, and it's easy to beat up on cell phones, smartphones. Everybody's got their head down. They're not paying attention. No one talks to one another. But we conveniently leave out all the positive things that the phone has brought our lives.
Do we? I think we all are quite aware of the positive
Are you fully aware of like how your life fundamentally changed 10, 15 years ago when you suddenly could walk around with this thing in your pocket that, amazingly, had all the answers to the world contained in it. Right? I mean, that is in and of itself pretty darn amazing. That this thing that would fit in your front pocket or your back pocket or your purse had more computing power than when you were growing up, these rooms full of computers that they had, to calculate things.
The only thing that makes me think of, Bruce, is 15 years from now.
Okay.
What are we going to be talking about?
When I was talking about smartphones.
Do you remember when?
When we used to carry a smartphone around?
Yeah.
That's silly.
Do you remember
blink your eyes twice to send this as a message.
Or remember when you used to drive a car? Right?
You, Grandpa, tell me what it was like. What was that like when you drove a car and you carried a cell phone, you listened to that hippity-hop music? Yeah. Grandpa, tell me all about it. Remember the olden days?
Yeah, it was life in black and white.
You
back
kids,
then.
We had to carry a cell phone with us. It weighed a ton.
I had to charge it
uphill both ways. I don't think that fits.
No.
Might be one of the reasons why. You think we're going to hang in a handbasket? Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity.
Yeah, and this is a super cool one. This is coming to us out of New Hampshire, but it's not just exclusive to the Bethlehem Elementary School there in New Hampshire. The students there, though, are studying for tests, finishing up some last-minute projects. It is the time of the year for that. But the fifth graders at this school are also, Bruce, sending 600 donated Christmas trees to service members who are going to be on duty around the world this holiday season. It's part of this whole Trees for Troops program, and it's been going on for 14 years. Now, what's super cool about what's happening at this Bethlehem Elementary School is, you know what, Sam was one of the first Bethlehem students to participate in the Trees for Troops program, has since become a Marine. And 14 years after he helped donate trees to service members, he's going to receive his first tree from the program. And this Trees for Troops sends out some 200,000 trees from 25 states that are donated, and FedEx ships them for free.
That is super cool.
That is super cool.
See? Thing. Look at that. Pamela, restoring your faith in humanity today on a day you might need it. All right? Listen, we got a lot of news. We have a lot of moving parts right now. Don't worry. The KTAR news team is on top of it. We, though, look through the double pane bulletproof glass at DJ Tommy Two-Tone, super producer Stevie Z, and Sharon Middleman.